This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Have you ever wanted revenge so much that you were willing to die for it? Hi everyone, you're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. It's been a hot minute since I've had one-on-one time with you, you know what I mean? And I feel like it's been really nice having guests come onto the show back-to-back, but, you know, it's only now that I realize, you know what, I think it's time for us to, you know, have a girl-on-girl chat, you know? And I thought today I could sort of do a little dual episode where I do a little bit of self-reflecting while also talking about one of my favorite dramas, which is The Glory. I don't quite remember if I've talked about this drama onto the pod before. I feel like I have, but I also feel like I haven't. Because I know, like, when this show came out, it was my hyperfixation for, like, the whole year. So I find it unbelievable that I wouldn't have talked about it. But I couldn't find it, which means that it's been a while since then. So I will be talking about that today. For those of you who don't know, The Glory is a K-drama that came out in 2022. It's a thriller with a little bit of romance, but definitely not the main topic. I would say it's a show about revenge, you know? And it stars Song Hye-kyo, and if anyone's like a big fan of K-dramas, you might recognize that name. She was in Descendants of the Sun. She was also, I think, was she Miss Korea? No, like she was like a big face around Korea as an actress. Like, I know she promoted a lot of products. Like, she's genuinely, in my opinion, she's like probably one of the most beautiful Korean actresses there is. So I feel like even if you haven't heard her name, you probably would have seen her face. But this drama, oh boy, well, I have to tell you, this is probably one of my top three dramas. I would dare say that it's like tied for number one almost. Like, it's just slightly behind my number one, which is Legend of the Blue Sea, which is one of my first K-dramas that I watched, and it had Lee Min Ho and I'm blanking on the actress's name, but I really, really love the actress. And she was like, she's really, really well known as well. Just search it up. But those two are my top dramas, and they couldn't be any more different genre wise. Legend of the Blue Sea is about a mermaid who falls in love with a human. It's very, very funny. It's got a murderous subplot. It's a little bit about, it plays a little bit with time and like flashbacks and, you know, reincarnation and things like that. Like, those are the things that I really love. And if you're a longtime listener to my show, then this is something that you'd be familiar with. So The Glory being so, so different, you'd probably be surprised that I'm as into it as I am. But it's inspired off of a real bullying case in Korea, starring Song Hye-kyo. She plays Moon Dong-un, and she basically got bullied really, really bad in high school. And the plot of this journey is her going to her bullies one by one and plotting revenge. And it's just so, so good. Like, it's so masterfully done. Please give it a go. I don't even know. Like, I'm running out of words to say because my brain is like absolutely brain dead, I'd say. But it's got a lot of intrigue, you know? Like, you want to know what's coming, and these people that she's taking revenge on is absolutely so horrendous to her that you can't help but be on her side, even though what she's doing is very, like, anti-hero behavior. Like, she's definitely not following the law. What she's doing is very, like, morally ambiguous and things like that. And, but still, you feel like she never loses your trust, essentially, you know? It's so easy for characters to, I think, take things too far. And I don't know, did she take things too far, or is she just paying back what she was owed because the police didn't do anything? As you guys know, because I'll be doing a deep dive on this, there will be a lot of spoilers. So if this is something that you guys are interested in, like, please, I recommend watching the show first, because it would just be such a shame if you guys, you know, got things spoiled from me just because I'm too big of a nerd and I can't keep my mouth shut. So the main character is Moon Dong-un, and it's centering around her and, I believe, five other people. Those people are the bullies. So it's told in a dual timeline sort of thing. So it starts off with her being in her adult years. She's in her 30s, like, I think mid-30s, 34, 36, something like that. Throughout the season, you get snippets of her past being told in little increments as they are necessary. And you just see like the things that they do to her in that moment and how much pain that that's caused her. But then you flip back into the future, and in the future, or, well, in the present, you see that she's got no emotion. She's a robot. I think I can count on one hand how many times she smiled in 16 episodes. In 16 hours, she probably smiled like four times, three or four times. And it's pretty dark. It's pretty sad. But she's such a masterful actor, because it's so easy when you're trying to show a blank face that you come across as, like, facially paralyzed, you know, on screen. But she manages to act really well with her eyes, if you know what I mean. Like, even though she's not really doing much with her mouth, and she's just, like, it's just a straight line, and she's not really talking much because she's a very quiet, depressed, taciturn character, her eyes speak so much volumes. There's so much intensity, so much hatred, and it's, like, I love it. Like, she's very good at bringing that to life. I won't be able to touch upon everything that I want to in this episode, which is fine, but I would like to bring a few things that I thought is very interesting to me. So as you guys know, the entire driving force of this series is Moon Dong-un getting revenge onto these five people who have hurt her in such a way, right? And they bullied her really, really badly. Like, in high school, she was abused relentlessly, and they would take... Oh, also, I should probably say this. Just trigger warning, talking about severe bullying, suicidal tendencies, torture, and sexual assault. So, yeah, just, you know, mind that. Take care of yourself. If you guys want to take a break, if you guys want to step away, that's totally fine. Now, going into Moon Dong-un's bullying, she basically got burned. So her main bully was Park Yeon-jin. And Park Yeon-jin would basically, like, have a curling iron, and she would want to, like, curl her hair. But she would have Moon Dong-un, quote-unquote, test that out for her. So she would purposely burn the skin. Like, imagine that. Like, burn the skin off her arms, her back, her legs, and things like that. And whereas the other four people would hold her down or, like, watch it happen, laugh in her face and things like that. That is just one of the things that they did. And then it cuts to the present, and then you see her, like, you know, like, her scratching at her her scars that still till this day hasn't, like, healed yet, and they're still irritating her, and she's still being tortured, even though she's no longer in that hallway in high school, you know? And you see the long-lasting effects. The bullying is so, so utterly brutal, and they don't show it more than necessary, the cruelty, I think. I believe they did it quite tastefully. But still, like, you know what happened, sort of, like, behind the scenes and all that stuff. And because of that, it gives such a good justification on the actions that Moon Dong-eun takes later on. Because you see, she moves into this new apartment complex, and then the apartment is just bare. She has a bed on the floor and a single desk. She has no lights on. And then when you open the windows, it's just all these pictures of these like five people, like pictured onto the wall, like things that they posted online. You know, somebody's wedding, you know, all these things. And it's just covered on the wall. And she's sitting on the bed and she's eating her like gimbap. And she's just watching, and you know she's like internalizing, and she's internalizing every single bit, and like speaking a mantra in her head, even though not a single word leaves her mouth. And I'm just like, oh my god, like this girl is bloody intense. She's so intense. And then she's on the roof of her house. Like I say, Park Yun-jin, she's the main bully. And the apartment complex that Moon Dong-eun moves into, it's right next to or right across the street from the mansion that Park Yun-jin had bought for herself as an adult. So either Moon Dong-eun is in her bedroom watching the photos in the window with severe intensity, or she's on the rooftop and she's eating her gimbap and she's watching through the window of Park Yun-jin's house as she lives her day-to-day. And I'm just like, oh my days. Like, this girl is so intense. Nothing is going to get in her way. She knows what she wants, and nothing's going to stop her from doing that. There's this one scene that really, like, stuck out to me till this day that I just thought was so, so good. Like, it gave me shivers. It was in the middle of the night. And Park Yun-jin, at this point, like I said, 34, 36, something like that. She's got a husband. She's got a little daughter. And her mother's there, too. And they're, like, singing a happy birthday song. It's nice and jovial inside the house. It's so rich. Like, she's super, super, super rich, right? And she's, like, singing along. She's laughing and stuff like that. And then there's a cut to like another scene where the music suddenly like dims and it's dark outside. And then Moon Dong-eun, the main character, she stands outside and she's also singing happy birthday to Park Yun-jin. And she's humming it under her breath while she's eating. She's just like, happy birthday to you. And it's just quiet while looking through this bright window that's like shining through in the dark. And I'm just like, dude, literal shivers. Like, you can feel the malice through the screen just from that single happy birthday. And I'm just like, this is all in episode one, by the way. Like, and from the get-go, they really, really do grab your attention. I just want to say, whoever directed this show, like, they did a masterful job of, like, this entire thing. The director, the screenwriter, both of them. Fantastic job. And I'm sure they won a lot of awards for it as well. Wait, I think the writer was Kim Eun-suk or something like that. I can't recall the director at the top of my head. I think it was like An Gil-ho or something like that. Though no confirmations about that. I can't say for certain. But they did a fantastic job about keeping your attention to this show the entire time. I remember when it was released and there was a lot of hype about it because Song Ha-kyo, as the actress, I believe this was her first drama coming out of her hiatus, and there was a lot of controversy around her at the time. Not because of anything of her fault, like, I personally believe, like, she generally did nothing wrong. She was just divorced, that's it. And you know how the media is with women who get divorced in like the Korean celebrity circle, right? So she got villainized. And this was sort of like her comeback drama, and there was a lot of anticipation building around this, right? So I remember that the trailers that got like came out and stuff like that, and I'm like, oh my god, I can't wait to watch this. So I didn't watch it when it was coming out because I know what type of watcher I am. I'm a binge watcher. I cannot physically wait for the next episode. I cannot watch one episode and then wait 7 days for the next one. No, no, thank you. I'm going to watch like 8 episodes a day, probably. Like, I'll dedicate a whole day. I remember flying to Malaysia to visit my sister at the time, who had recently gotten married, and we watched it together. And bro, the way we were salivating and we were eating it up every step of the way. Genuinely, of course, there's no such thing as like a perfect movie, a perfect show or whatever. But from the top of my head, nothing angered me. There was nothing that was annoying. Everything was done so perfectly. you know? And one of the things I wanted to talk about is the revenge, right? So the revenge is so interesting because it's really based off of the dysfunction of that bully friend group. So like I said, there are five people. So Park Hyun-jin, she's the main bully, and she sort of is the leader of the whole gang. There's five people. Three of them are rich. I believe there are two guys and three girls. So just to name off the characters, I know the names are going to be a little bit confusing for anyone who's not really familiar with, like, Korean names or things like that. So I'll try my best to, like, repeat who these peoples are. But I apologize in advance if they are confusing. So there's Park Hyun-jin, there's Lee Sara, there's Jeon Jae-jun, Choi Hae-jung, and Son Myung-oh. And I apologize if I butchered those pronunciations. I'm trying my best. but the two girls, Park Hyun-jin, Lee Sara, and they're the rich ones. And the other girl, Choi Hae-jung, she isn't rich. And then there's Jeon Jae-jun. He's rich. So the last guy, Son Myung-oh, he's also a poor guy. So automatically, you get a sort of like a clash of social, not a clash. I'd say the power dynamic is established pretty early on in terms of who's in charge, right? So Park Hyun-jin is the leader, and then Lee Sara, she pretty much does whatever she wants. She's established as the artist character, and she's a druggie. So she's addicted to drugs. And when we see her grown up, she is like, she's a successful artist. Her parents, though, what's interesting about her is that her parents are devout Christians, and her dad is even is in charge of a church. I don't exactly know what, I guess the head priest, I'm not quite sure, but her dad is the one who's like in charge of it and stuff like that. So automatically there's like this really good conflict between her faith and her addiction to drugs and things like that, right? When you guys watch the show, I really like the actress they chose for Lee Sara, because, and as well as the combination with her makeup as well, she looks so sick. She looks so ghostly. You just see, she looks like a skeleton. And you just sort of see that deterioration that drugs have been doing to her over time. And then Jeon Jae-jun, he's the one of the two guys, and he's one of the rich ones. He's got colorblindness, and he's got that's like his sore spot. If anyone ever mentions his colorblindness, he gets like super, super angry. And he gets really violent about it. And he's sort of in lust / in love with Park Hyun-jin, which is the leader of the bullies. And that sort of plays its role, into the whole thing. And then there is Choi Hae-jung. She is that poor. She is the other girl in this, third and last girl in the bully friend group. She's really poor, right? And she reeks of desperation, and of wanting to fit in, and like being shameless and all that. And they sort of like establish this really well all in episode one. So these episodes are like 40 to 1 hour-ish, 1 hour and 10 minute episodes. Like, by the end of the season, the episodes got longer, but I think, if I'm not wrong, the pilot is probably like 45 minutes long, maybe slightly less. I'm not quite sure. And so it's only on the second watch that you'll notice the little breadcrumbs that they have like established through just that first episode, which I think was just so masterfully done. If you don't notice them, then like that's not a big deal, because they do let you guys know later on what those problems are. But like they show you the cracks in this friendship very, very early. And I'm just like, wow, the planning that this must have taken, like it's just so masterful, you know, because it's so quick, but it's just so appreciated as well. Finally, we've got Son Myung-oh. His thing is that he's greedy. He's also poor, brash, super dumb. He sort of thinks with his lower half more than anything. And he's like heavily tattooed, and he's sort of like a sleazy, disgusting sort of character. And, what's really important for you to know about him is Son Myung-oh is Jeon Jae-jun's assistant growing up. So, so you see that power dynamic, right? So I really like how Moon Dong-eun, the main character, she basically takes these two poor people in this rich bully friend group and uses them as her swords in a way. Like, they sort of defeat themselves. She sort of just gave them, like, the pointers, the direction that they needed to go to in order for them to establish that like, you know, that breaking point, right? She sets the, like, they set up the dominoes themselves, you know. She just gave that first a little push, but they end up pushing each other off the cliff, you know. And it's just, it's so satisfying, you know, especially when you see back and forth with the flashbacks as well. I would say the revenge is a little bit predictable in terms of, like there's not an obstacle for Moon Dong-un, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying it's predictable and, like, I know what's going to happen next. But what I mean is, like, Moon Dong-un never gets massively challenged in this show, except for one thing, which involves her mother, which I'll get into in a little bit if I have time, but which is a very good touch. It's just, yeah, there's just something to point out. However, because they played this revenge in this story so well, even though she's never, like on a, like, a technical standpoint, even though she as a character, her objective is never really challenged in a major way, it's still really, really interesting to watch. In fact, I'm glad for it. Like, I'm so glad and so satisfied even that she never, she's always got the upper hand, you know? Like, she's never been flipped, like, off of her raid, like, off of her game so hard that it ruins her years of planning. Like, it's just so satisfying to see her so competent. And so I know that might not be everyone's cup of tea, but genuinely, it's so good. Like, do you ever watch a movie or a drama and you're, like, thinking, like, oh my God, that character's so dumb, they should have done this? Like, for example, you're watching a horror movie and they're like, oh my God, why did they run upstairs, right? Or if they're, like, trapped in this whole, like, situation, or, like, you know, where someone's threatening them on the phone, someone's like, oh, how come they didn't just hang up the phone? How come they didn't just call the police? How come they didn't do this or that? You know, you always think about these things in your head that the character could have done better, but they didn't because of plot purposes. What I love about this drama is that everything that you could possibly think of on how to make Moon Dong-un leave her situation in high school, the show thinks of for you. So they're really good at pushing the main character into a corner and making them do things that they don't want to do. So, for example, a lot of the times when I'm watching, like, bullying K-dramas, and I'm talking about, like, the high school ones that are, like, mainly romance-focused, so the bullying is just there as, like, a way for the male interest to save the day. Yes, I am talking a little bit about Airs. I know that's beloved, like, Boys Over Flowers, you know, stuff like that. You know the genre. There's a lot of times where I'm like, okay, you're kind of, like, really, really stupid. Can you, like, stop crying for a minute and actually, like, get your act together? Which sounds heartless, but, like, as a viewer, you tend to be a little bit more heartless with the characters you watch, especially if they're not likable. It's probably one of the reasons why I could never finish Ears, because I, like, respect to the actor, to the actress, but she really annoyed me with how much she was crying every 2 seconds. She's a masterful crying actress, but her character really angered me. I'm not going to lie. But hey, sorry, I'm digressing. With Moon Dong-un, right, you think, oh my God, she's getting bullied. She should tell the teacher. She did try to tell the teacher. The teacher is being bought over by Park Yeon-jin's parents. Again, she's super rich. And then Moon Dong-un ends up getting slapped to high heaven. Like, literally, one of the first things we see is Moon Dong-un at a police station. She's at a police station because she reported her bullies to the police. And then the teacher picked her up because her mom's useless. Her teacher picked her up. Or is it a teacher or, like, a headmaster or some sort of disciplinary teacher or whatever? Like, some sort of, like, authority figure. He picks her up and then he slaps her across the office every time she tries to speak up. He's just like, why did you call the police? You know, and stuff like that. Because they couldn't afford to get on Park Yeon-jin's bad side. So she tries to tell the teacher. She tries to tell the cops. Nothing worked, right? So she tried to report her injuries of, like, this is when she was freshly bullied in terms of, like, one of the first few times that she got burned by the iron and stuff like that. She tried to tell the nurse, Like, and this was one of the few adult figures in the high school flashback that I actually really adored. Like, not every adult was useless, you know what I mean? So, which was also another thing. Like, it was realistic in the sense that not every adult was a villain, but, like, not every adult was a hero either, which I'll get back to in a minute. So, obviously, we get the cops who are just doing the jobs and they don't really care. And then we've got that teacher who is actively being, like, his pockets actively being filled up by Park Hyun-jin's, like, family and influence and things like that. And then finally, we get to the nurse. Park Hyun-jin, Moon Dong-un, the main character, she basically seeks for help with the nurse. And the nurse, she's genuinely caring. And she's just like, oh, my God, what happened? Let me try and help you. And she tries to sort of, like, get a report in for that, and they take pictures and stuff like that. But I just want to say, the first time we see this nurse character, and we see Moon Dong-un try again, even though she's been burned multiple times, literally and metaphorically, she's been burned. She wants to try and reach out for help again, and she's about to say something. She's about to ask for help, and they're in the sick bay, right? And then we hear, like, the sound of, like, this really juvenile, like, this is, like, in the this is, like, what, 80s, 90s? Yeah, like 80s or something like that. And then we hear the juvenile sound of, like, a game ending or something like that. Like, you know, if you think about, like, your Nokia phone or your flip phone or something like that, you have those, like, little games on it, and it's, like, really pixelated, and they've got the really, like, the characteristic soundtrack, you know, this really cute, pippy vibe, right? So Moon Dong-un, she's about to open her mouth, and then suddenly you hear that soundtrack, and it's from one of the beds that's got the curtains drawn, and then there's, like, a slow zoom in from the camera, and then the character dies from the game. It's indicative from the sound, right? And then she opens the curtain, and then there is Park Hyun-jin, and it's just like, oh my god, like, Moon Dong-un literally has nowhere to go. Like, later on, we find out that Moon Dong-un still went to the nurse, and the nurse still tried to help formulate, like, a report of abuse and things like that. And then we find that the nurse got sacked. She got fired off of her job just because she was doing her job properly. So Park Hyun-jin's influence is real. And Moon Dong-un is really poor, and her mother is kind of crazy. Like, she's got some sort of, like, okay, I say crazy, like, derogatorily, because I genuinely hate her character, and she is played that way. But, like, obviously, mental illness is not a joke, but because she's a horrible person, like, yeah, I'm making fun of her for this. She is a horrible mother, basically. In high school, Park Hyun-jin somehow manages to make Moon Dong-un's mother sell her own daughter out. And so at, like, the ripe young age of 16 years old, Moon Dong-un is kicked out of school. Well, she was forced to drop out because her mother signed the form. And then her mother ran away with the money that Park Hyun-jin's mother had, like, given to her. And Moon Dong-un had nowhere to live, because the place that they rented, like, you know, she was getting kicked out of it. Like, literally her stuff was on the floor, sprawling in the hallway and things like that. And then these bullies are so bad, like, they don't even stop there. Like, these bullies come to her house, and then they eat hot pot, you know, or something like that in her house and stuff like that. Like, she has nowhere to go. And I really love that narratively speaking, I really love that, because every solution that you as the audience think of as things goes on, as the story plays, they answer that so perfectly. And I'm just like, oh my God, chef's kiss. As someone who, like, wants to do a screenplay one day and, like, hopefully write a story that's good enough that will, you know, go somewhere with it, win a competition or something. Like, this is genuinely, like, one of my biggest inspirations. I cannot think of, like, a plot hole in terms of, like, you know, that sort of aspect. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting a little bit too much on that aspect, and I haven't even gotten to the other parts. So as she's older, right, she's noticing these things about these characters that are really, really, like, are detrimental to them, right? For example, like Jaejun's colorblindness and stuff like that. It's really apparent that these guys are all flawed characters, and this is including Moon Dong-un, okay? She's really taciturn, okay? She's, like I said, I wasn't exaggerating when I say I don't see her smile, like, more than, like, the five fingers of my hand. You know what I mean? She's so sad. And you sort of see her heal as the journey goes on. But the story takes some pretty dark turns, as revenges usually do. One of the first, again, this is like in the first episode, right? In the first episode, we see Moon Dong-un approach a child. She's 7 years old, I believe. And that is Ha Ye-sol. Ha Ye-sol is Park Hyun-jin's daughter. And in the voiceover, because as like a device that they use, Moon Dong-un writes a letter to Park Hyun-jin. She does that often to pretend like she's talking to Park Hyun-jin. So in the voiceover, this is her pretty much writing her letters that she never sends out. And these are the letters directly to Park Hyun-jin. So she's speaking to us. Through us to speak to Park Hyun-jin, right? So she's basically saying how Park Hyun-jin doesn't value a lot of things. But in high school, Park Hyun-jin said that her dream was to, get married and have a kid, have a successful career. So those are the things that she really, really cares about. And Moon Dong-un says she wants to basically target the softest thing about Park Hyun-jin. And then we cut to a frame of little cute 7-year-old Ha Ye-sol swinging upside down in her kindergarten. When I tell you the gasp, I gasped, because I'm just like, ain't no way is this woman going to go after a 7-year-old just because of what Park Hyun-jin did, right? And it's just, I really love that immediate intrigue, because it's just like, oh my God, that is actually horrendous. Like, I was sort of on board with the, like, revenge thing at first, but if she's going to be using, like, if she's going to be using the 7-year-old to get to that, surely that's going to be like, that's kind of horrendous, isn't it? And they really play with you with that. It's like, will she, won't she, in terms of, like, hurting this child to get to Park Hyun-jin. Right? Because what they did was absolutely horrendous. In a sense, you don't exactly, like, I wasn't going to say you don't blame her, but, like, you understand why she's doing what she is and how she's come to the conclusion that she has come to. But at the same time, morally speaking, you're like, but this is a kid, though. Again, spoiler, don't worry, no harm, well, relative harm, but, like, no physical harm comes to Ha Ye-sol. But they do play with your heart a little bit with it, because you're like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen, right? But yeah, so I don't want to get too much into the revenge without, like, spoiling it, because I know I said I don't mind spoiling it, but, like, I don't think me explaining it would kind of, like, do it the justice that it deserves, because Moon Dong-un has been watching these people, stalking them, for literal years, ever since she left high school, and the only thing that's kept her going is this burning, burning hatred in order to see these people suffer, right? She was there, like, you know that, like, TikTok song was just like, every night, I'll be there. Every birthday party, I'll be there. You know, that sort of thing, that's her. She's literally there. Like, during Park Hyun-jin's wedding to that guy, she's there in the corner, dressed in black. I love her costume in this as well. She's so Grim Reaper-coded, and it's genuinely perfect. But yeah, so watch it for the satisfying revenge. They do a really, really good job at it. I wanted to talk about real quick about the romance between Moon Dong-un and Ju Yo-jung. So this is another character I haven't mentioned yet before. So Yo-jung is a doctor, right? And he's the son of two doctors. Like, he comes from a prominent, like, doctor family. His dad was the director of a hospital before he got killed, and then his mother took over as the director and stuff like that. So he's really rich as well. What I really find interesting about them, and the reason why I'm talking about this, is because my brother Naeem, he was on who sort of brought it to my attention, and I thought this was such a good parallel to talk about, because Ju Yo-jung, he's also looking for revenge. Basically, like, long story short, like, his story is like a C-plot sort of thing, like, his revenge D-plot even. Like, it's not a big focus until the end. But he's also looking for revenge. His dad was a really charismatic, good doctor, right? And then one day there was this criminal who came in and he needed surgery. And then his dad was like, okay, I'll do it because that's my job as a doctor. And just as he finished up surgery, this criminal basically stabbed him in the neck and killed the guy's father. And Ju Yeo-jung has been receiving harassment letters from that murderer from prison this entire time since that happened. Basically, the letters are saying, oh my God, I like enjoyed watching the life drain from your father's eyes. How have you been doing? I bet you've grown up. You're probably going to grow older than your dad ever did. You know, that sort of thing. And that guy's like, he's also suffering, right? And he's also willing to do whatever he can in order to avenge his father. And basically, my brother, he pointed out how, oh, like, it's so sad. Like, it's such a waste of a life to sacrifice all he does for this revenge. Because unlike Moon Dong-un, he sort of has it all. He's a doctor himself, but he's the son of two prominent directors of a whole-ass hospital. And then now that he's older, he's in a... Like, he's got his own practice. He's a plastic surgeon, or like he's a surgeon in general, but he has his own practice as a plastic surgeon. He's rich. You know, he's good looking. He's charismatic. He's happy. You know, like he looks happy. He's pretty much got it all. And my brother was saying how, like, that's such a waste, you know? And I just find that so interesting because Moon Dong-un and Ju Yeo-jung both are motivated for revenge. And I guess it's just such a fun way to show that when you have hatred in your heart, no matter where you are in life, no matter who you are in life, that will basically eat everything up. Moon Dong-un, even though she was born poor and she had nothing to her name, once revenge was in the picture, that swallowed everything up. And Ju Yeo-jung, like, even though he was born rich, he had everything, a loving family, like his parents were great, you know, and things like that. He's got such a bright future ahead of him. This revenge is going to swallow everything up. Like, nothing matters in the face of revenge. And I just thought that was just such a good way of showing that all-encompassing hatred and how universal it is. It doesn't matter where you are in life. If you hate something to the point where, like, your very bones, like, creak, It's so powerful, and to see that in such two different characters, it's executed so well, right? And it's also really good to see how revenge has been taken by these different people. Like Moon Dong-un, she's the Grim Reaper embodiment, right? And she never smiles. She's so depressed, and hatred is her one, revenge is her one goal, and hatred is at every corner of her life. Whereas Ju Yeo-jung, he laughs, he smiles, he jokes with his patients, he's got a good relationship with his mother and things like that. But then in the private of his own home, he's got like a drawer filled with knives of all sorts, right? He thinks about like blood rushing through someone's veins, and he calculates the height of his murderer as he tries to do whatever he can to accomplish his revenge. He cries like in the corner of like a surgery room or something like that. Like, they're both unhappy, but they show it differently. And I don't know. I just respect it a lot. Like how much that is like shown through and things like that. I really like as well how they come together and sort of compliment each other, because no lie, Ju Yeo-jung, he's like an absolute simp, but I love it. You know, he knew what he wanted. He saw Moon Dong-un and he was just like, yes, this is the girl for me. This is it. This is my end game. And he, oh my God, like, he's so pathetic, but like in a loving way. Like, and it's just so rare. It's so rare to see, I think, because it's so common in like Korean dramas where the guy is like this rich CEO who's super cocky and like an if boy sort of vibe. No, he's just like this. He's got a very much like a golden retriever energy. And because Moon Dong-un is so depressed, like both of them are just so complimentary of each other, basically. Anyway, I do love the romance between them, especially with how intense, how serious this drama is throughout. Like having that little reprieve of Joo Yeo-jung doing his clumsy best to impress this girl he likes and failing utterly. And then them like trying to get to know each other despite all the mental barriers that Moon Dong-eun has put up for herself. Like, it's just so sweet. In of itself, you could argue that it's slightly boring, though I am hesitant to say that because the first time I watched it, it was a really good reprieve. The thing is, I've watched this show 5 times, right? Like, I love this show so much. And I find myself skipping the romances a lot of the times, mainly because nothing really goes wrong in their romance and it's everything goes well. You know what I mean? Like, we know its eventual ending. There's no big drama with it, which is good because if there was, it would take away from the revenge, which is the main plot of the story. So when you watch it the first time, it's good. It's great even. It's just be aware that if you were coming in for a rewatch, at least for me, this is stuff that I would usually tend to skip over. And the revenge stuff, every time it gets me. They pepper out stuff so well, and there's so many complex information in there that even if I watched it recently, there will be things that I don't remember, you know? And I'm just like, oh my God, I forgot about that. I can't believe they withheld this information, and this was so good. Like, yeah, they're really good with the pacing. Anyway, the next thing I wanted to talk about was the relationship between Park Yeon-jin and Ha Do-young. Ha Do-young is her husband, right? And it's just, I love Ha Do-young more than the male lead, which is Joo Yeo-jung. The male lead is super sweet, puppy dog, like golden retriever sort of vibe. And Ha Do-young, he's like, older, like physically speaking, he looks a lot older than the smooth-faced younger Joo Yeo-jung. And like, he just looks so professional and so like, he looks fine, basically. He looks like, yeah, he looks really, really good looking. And this is just like my taste. So he fits more of like my celebrity crushes rather than what the male lead does. And it doesn't help that Ha Do-young, genuinely, out of this entire series, of course, other than Moon Dong-eun, who is like a victim, I felt bad for Ha Do-young the most, I think, because the other 5 bullies, they were bullies. So they sort of deserved everything that came at them. By the way, everyone's ending with their revenge. So satisfying. They got revenge in the most like deserving way. And it was like, none of them had a quick death, is what I'll say. Anyway, but Ha Do-young, he was just a guy who decided to marry Park Yeon-jin because she was rich. And, you know, there was a little bit of a matchmaking thing involved because it was mentioned that Ha Do-young had gone on a few blind dates with other like rich women. But the reason why he ended up with Park Yeon-jin was because she was wearing the least amount of clothes and the most expensive clothes. So from the beginning, we see that he's a really shallow guy, or like their love is shallow. It seems like they're very lustful towards each other, and that their relationship was probably a match done because of the love, the blind dates, but also because Park Yeon-jin's background is very religious. So her mother would consistently see a shaman and, you know, stuff like that, and they would get like their futures predicted and, you know, the things about like getting your birth date read and stuff like that, seeing other people's fortunes, that sort of vibe. So her mother believes in this stuff very heavily. And even though it's seen throughout the show that she doesn't really care about that, she's just been dragged into it, she still believes this stuff very heavily. She just doesn't show it in the same way that her mom does. Anyway, so it's sort of assumed that the shaman set this like blind date up anyway. So they're both rich people who, you know, who married each other for the sake of the fact that they're both rich, good-looking, and it was just beneficial, right? So in the beginning, you see that their relationship is very, like, shallow. They like each other's bodies. They like each other's money. And they talk a lot about money, right? Their value of things is about the price of things, not how comfortable it is, not how good it tastes, how good it looks, just how much does it cost? Buy me the most expensive thing. And this is a thing that is reoccurring throughout pretty much all of the rich, super rich characters in this series. But what I like about their relationship is how they're both surprised at how much they love each other in the end. And Park Hyun-jin, again, is a horrible character. Lovely actress. The actress who got chosen for this, oh my God, chef's kiss. I really got to hate her, but also she plays it so well. They make a really handsome couple. But like, there's this thing where the main character, Moon Dong-un, sort of like gives Ha Do-young an ultimatum. And he's basically, not an ultimatum, but she's saying like how her goal at the end of the day is to have Park Hyun-jin alone, utterly, have everyone she cares about leave her, and everything she cares about like go down the drain. So she's going to get rid of her, she's going to get rid of Park Hyun-jin's career. She's going to get rid of her daughter, and she's going to make sure her husband leaves her. That's sort of her goal. And then Ha Do-young, even though he's faced with the fact that, because he doesn't know about Park Hyun-jin's past, when he does find out about her past, he's like, I'm not going to divorce her. And he's like shocked. He's just like, oh my God, like I love this woman, you know? Where, because it's in the beginning, you just see that it's something that they are both really blasé about. And then later on, when Park Hyun-jin is sort of pushed into a corner as well, and she gets blackmailed, and she's it's clear that her next forward step, it would be more beneficial for her to divorce her husband and then marry Jae-jun, right? Because I don't want to spoil this stuff, but like, you know, it would be more beneficial for her to basically divorce Ha Do-young, right? But then she's just like, you know what? I don't actually want to do that. Funnily enough, I want to stay with him. And at this point, their relationship, their marriage is tumultuous, right? Ha Do-young is figure out more and more things about Park Hyun-jin, like, because he knew about it shallowly in the past, but it just gets worse and worse the more he digs deeper into it. And then Park Hyun-jin is worried about the fact that Ha Do-young has been intellectually unfaithful. Even though he physically didn't do anything, he's just been, you know, caught interest by another thing, which I will get into in a bit. And I really love that. Like, it's probably not one of the main things that people would talk about when talking about the glory, but I just really love that surprise that they both had. Because at the end of the day, they've been together for 12 years. They have a 7-year-old kid together. No matter how shallowly things started off, they've been cohabitating for so long, and they've grown to be sort of dependent on each other. And I really like that subtle sprinkle there. You know, it really adds to the tension and like the problems and things like that. So yeah, chef's kiss to that. Well done. The next thing I wanted to talk about was the relationship between Moon Dong-un and Ha Do-young, right? Okay, it's not a love triangle, because it's clear from the get-go that the male lead is Ju Yo-jong, which is the doctor. And, you know, we're rooting for that the entire time. But oh my God, the way my heart was like, I kind of like really liked the idea, or like the view of having Moon Dong-un and Ha Do-young playing the game Go together. Like, it's just, they make such a like intense couple, because they're both quiet, they're both really intense, and they're both super into Go. And like, obviously Moon Dong-un approaches Ha Do-young with the intention of not stealing him away, but making sure that she breaks his marriage. But she doesn't seduce him. Like, she doesn't wear sexy clothes. She doesn't try to ask him out for drinks. Every step that she does ensures that he comes to her. And what does she do? She learns how to play Go, because Go is something that he really, really enjoys. It's something he does in his free time. She only knows that from extensive stalking and research, of course. And she takes years to learn how to play Go and be better at it than him. So Jae-jun describes Ha Do-young. Jae-jun is the guy who's in love with Park Hyun-jin, by the way. He's the one who's one of the rich guys, who's the bullies. But yeah, he describes Ha Do-young as someone who's never... Oh, was it him or was it Ha Do-young himself? I'm not sure. But like, it was said somewhere, someone had said this, that Ha Do-young was somebody who had never tasted loss, as in like he was born into privilege. He was born holding the black stone, which in the metaphor of the game Go, there's black stones and white stones. The black stone has more power, I believe, over the white stone. I'm not quite sure. So he was born holding the black stone, which means he was born more fortunate than others. And he never knows how to lose, because it's just not That's not how he was coded. And so go with him is such a integral part of his character and how he ends up emotionally cheating on Park Hyun-jin. All Moon-dong does, Moon-dong-un, all she does is play go with him once, and she beats him so utterly that he has no choice but to think about her for like the rest of the wee bit. He would like visit and he would like find himself inadvertently looking around to see if Moon-dong-un is there. Moon-dong-un doesn't even say a word to him beyond like, oh, this, let's play and bye. Like, you owe me $20 because you lost. That's pretty much the only thing she said. And this guy's thinking about her. She's just so masterful at this game. She's genuinely the game master. She's got so much power over everything. And I really love this game because, I mean, this show, because of course it's about revenge and things like that, but it's so intellectual. There's so many layers to this. And it speaks a lot in metaphors, right? Park Hyun-jin has a successful career as sort of a celebrity, as a weathercaster. The theme of weather, and how that affects the narrative, plays throughout the 16 episodes of the show. So it's very interesting, to have that, like, continue, you know, as well as Go. That is also like a continuous thing that they play on, with the whole dynamic of, clearing, what would you say? Like, you know, the whole thing about, building houses, making territories, taking territories and stuff like that. Like, that is all really, really good stuff. It's so intellectual and you have to watch it multiple times before you get like the little nuances and the strategies. I unfortunately don't have much time to talk about this anymore, but I really appreciate you guys coming in to listen onto this podcast. I'll try and continue about it next time. Thank you guys so much. Please boycott Coca-Cola. Have a good day. Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.